The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Yep. Get busy, Bobby.
What up?
Final hour of the program. Jason.
Yes.
Would you say today's show is flown by, cruised by, walked by?
I think it's flown by only to be made better by our final hour and our guest in the final hour.
So this next guy we're bringing on.
Here's a guy.
He's a great dad. He's a great, saw him taking some swings.
Yeah.
In the cage.
What do you think about the stance and the swing? Pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Very worldwide popular wrestlers.
Yes.
Love him. Was on vacation last week.
I know, and still made it.
Probably, I don't know where, but I'm going to guess, I'll just say Thailand.
Yeah.
And made it all the way back.
With limited notice.
To be at the press conference and basically, like Oprah Winfrey'd the interview with Vivek, just asked all the toughies.
Yeah, right on the couch.
I don't know if he was escorted off the grounds or not, but
He's still around, though. He's still with us.
He's still around, and he's joining us fresh from dropping his children off at school. It's ABC7's Casey Pratt, who, by the way, let me just say, we're kind of newcomers to the, you know, we're kind of dabbling in this story. This guy, along with our mutual friend Brody Brazil, they've been on this for years.
For sure.
There's nobody we'd rather talk to about the A's, and specifically the A's to Sacramento. Good morning, Casey.
Man, that was a heck of an intro. I don't think I deserve all those accolades, but I will say for sure that the day I got back from vacation, I woke up to that press release and made a beeline straight for Sutter Health Park. And I sort of stone cold Steve Austin my way in and stomped a mud hole and walked it dry, so to speak.
Were you the only Bay Area person that made it, would you say?
I think so. I didn't see any other Bay Area people there. And that was by design, you guys, because they put out the release at 7:45 a.m. and it was for a 10 a.m. presser. So that really gives you no time to kind of organize and get out there. I said, forget it. I just threw on my suit and I got right in the car. I didn't even eat all day. I mean, I didn't even have time. It was crazy.
Wait, so are you implying, Casey Pratt, ABC 7, that the Oakland Athletics would purposely announce
this, sounds fishy,
this thing at 7:45 with a presser just 2 hours later to hopefully slow, if not eliminate, Bay Area media presence at the presser itself? That's a rather large implication, Casey Pratt.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it's a good 90-minute drive for most of us to get down there. So that two-hour window wasn't exactly kind. And also keep in mind, guys, it gets even funnier. They announced this the day the team went on the road, too. So nobody back in the Bay Area could answer any questions either. So it was very calculated. I'm it's not a reach to say that at this point. No.
So did you get looks when, like, oh, he made it?
Right. Oh, God.
He's here. Pratt's here again.
Yes, I actually made it 15 minutes before the press conference, so I got in there quick. I ended up being front and center. Shout out Matt George, he actually saved me a seat. So I was front and center, and when my guy Dave Cavill walked in, I got up, greeted him, and told him I saved him a seat right in front of me. And to his credit, he actually took the seat right in front of me. John Fisher sat as far away from me as he possibly could.
Well, Dave certainly seemed, from the videos I saw, pumped up for the press conference. He had an intense look on his face. And it was, how would you, well, let's just start here. It was gloomy. It was cloudy. There was rain. There was microphone feedback on Vivek. That's what we saw from afar. But how would you describe the overall tenor itself of the press conference?
It was one of the weirder things I've ever witnessed, because I think it was a very bittersweet announcement for many people. Yes, Sacramento is going to get Major League Baseball temporarily, and that should be a really cool thing for everybody out there. But the way they got it was pretty dirty, I would say. And then the press conference was like very gloomy, very windy, rainy, and they had it outdoors. So the whole thing just was rife with technical errors. It just, the whole thing felt fitting. But in the background was like the entire front offices of, I'm pretty sure, the Kings and Rivercats and A's, just trying to clap and like cheer and make it seem like a very jovial occasion. And then as soon as it ended, they took no questions in the press conference. So that's when everyone kind of jumped up and started grabbing people like Vivek and trying to chase down Fisher and get Cavill. Because they, you know, usually in a press conference, you take questions. But in this one, it was a it was more of an announcement with a lot of like fake applause. It was a strange day.
Yeah, there were a lot of moving parts. And to your point, Casey, and Dave, I don't think you and I ever officially talked about this after it happened live on the air. So we're, you know, the announcement's made. We kind of knew some of this was coming. But then, you know, we're getting mixed reaction from callers, texters. Everyone's like, some are super excited. Others are kind of to that feeling of like, well, is this of best interest? So we're all over the place. And Dave, when we had the mayor of West Sac, I mean, she could not have been more excited.
No.
And so then you're trying to think, oh, well, I mean, there are multiple angles to this. But it was a just overall, I think, emotionally a really hard day to take all of the different angles in. And I'm sure that's how you felt out there, too, Casey.
Yeah, that was very much the case, because I think some people were just so like rah-rah and happy about getting baseball. And again, that's an awesome thing. Like, you should be happy about that. And like the politicians were all pumped up, and you know, all the people out there were pumped up. But then when it was me asking the questions to Vivek Ranadive and actually asking the tough questions about what assurances he actually got, what deal he actually cut, you could see a lot of the other people around me, even the other assembled media, start kind of like doing these like weird, like side eyes at me, like what is happening? Like, yep. It's almost like a lot of people didn't understand why there was actual serious implications to what had taken place.
Welcome to Sacramento media, Chris, Casey. Vivek is, and by the way, and let me be clear, we're a part of that machine. This isn't me taking shots at other media members. It's just Sacramento is generally not as combative, and by combative, you know what I mean, asking tough questions. And I don't know that Vivek has been in that position too often, especially recently.
Yeah, and to his credit, he answered them.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't run away like John Fisher.
Yes.
You know, I asked the tough questions, and I think they were important for people out there, too, because it's like, okay, well, you know, he said Sacramento's not going to play second fiddle to anybody. And of course, why shouldn't Sacramento play second fiddle to anybody, right? But I said, you know, in doing so, why isn't Sacramento's name on the team then?
You know,
and
what?
So, why aren't you getting any assurances that you're going to get to keep this team or expand? And so that to me is playing second fiddle in a nutshell.
We actually have the back and forth here. Just a clip. I'll play that right now. This is Casey talking to Vivek, asking him questions at the press conference last week.
Putting Sacramento on the team. He said Sacramento's not going to play second fiddle to any other market. I already see the signage. I already see they're not putting Sacramento on the team name. What assurances do you have that Major League Baseball is going to possibly expand here or let you keep this team if Las Vegas doesn't go through?
Yeah, so I've been in touch with the commissioner, and I've gotten to know him, Rob Manfred. And they will be creating a new team. They want it to be on the West Coast. They'd love for it to be in California. And I think this is a great showcase for us. We can prove that there's a market here. We can make the team successful. I think we're in pole position to get the new franchise.
Pole position's nice, but is there any assurances at all, or is this just something he said he would be willing to entertain? I mean, is there any type of guarantees for this? Because in negotiating this, you're driving down the price in another market. You're taking a team here. So what is in it for you to do this?
Yeah, no, there's no guarantee. You know, we have to show what we can do. And I have complete confidence that if we set our mind to something, this is an incredible city. We have the best fans in the world. And at the end of the day, the best fans in the world will make it happen.
Man, he took the sword out.
Yeah.
He took the sword out, waved it around on Vivek. And by the way, let's just say this, Jason, you and I talked a lot about this. And this is why you ask tough questions. Because you get sometimes things, Casey, I don't think there's a world in which you expected his answer to be about talking to Rob Manfred and disclosing, really breaking news, if it's true, which you assume, you take him at his word, of course, that they want an expansion team on the West Coast, that Sacramento could be in the pole position. All the things he said. We had David Sampson. I know you retweeted that earlier, the former president of the Marlins who's been involved in this stuff. We had him on last week, and we asked him, were you surprised? Or actually, we said to him, that surprised us that he said that. I got to think Rob Manfred didn't want that public. And David said, that's the biggest understatement you'll make on your station all day long. Were you shocked listening to that, even though you had a great follow-up? Were you shocked when he said that back to you?
Yeah, I was shocked because you could tell it's something that Major League Baseball may have floated out there just for him to agree to do what he did and take on all the bad press and take on all the stink that comes with this situation. I was surprised, but that is why you ask those tough questions. Now, the follow-up was important, though, because remember, Oakland's negotiations, they weren't going to take anything short of some type of guarantee that they could line up a group for expansion. Mm-hmm. That was it. It all hinged on that. They weren't going to do anything else unless it came to some type of guarantee. And I think the most important thing Vivek said in that entire exchange, even after he said that they'd talked to Manfred about getting in pole position, was he said, there are no guarantees. Mm-hmm. And so that just shows you that he basically took no rent, no assurances, no guarantees of any kind, and completely undercut what happened in Oakland just to get his hold on this team for 3 years. Now, of course, John Fisher shows up and says, our temporary home until Las Vegas. Right. It's one of the most important points he stressed. And again, they didn't put Sacramento on this team's name for the next 3 years. So I just feel like he probably could have driven a harder bargain or at least tried to get some assurances from Manfred. But I think what he did was just saw an opportunity and tried to capitalize on it. Now, Samson's quote on this very show was really interesting because that was the next point I made to a lot of people was if Vivek thinks he's in pole position to keep the A's, he's going to have to get in line because there's not just Joe Lake about here. I could think of probably five different major groups that would be willing to buy the A's and put in an expansion team in the East Bay. And not to mention, they have two basically shovel-ready stadium sites already and a bunch of funds raised. Sacramento does not have that. And they also have what I heard is like a $66 billion or million-dollar budget deficit. Million, I should say.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that they're really in pole position. I think he can think they are just because they have the team there. But I think when rubber hits the road, he's going to find out that there's a lot of major power players already lined up and ready to go, and he's just one of them.
You know, it's interesting when this – so this story obviously is not new to us, but for you, for sure. You've been covering this for full depth for so long. But then when it kind of gets out, it's officially hit. You hear the national narrative, and you hear a lot of people – so when that's hit, most of the stuff I'm seeing, Casey, was like, how does baseball allow this? How are they allowing a team go to a AAA park? Where were the owners in all this? And then you go, the owners unanimously voted for them to go to Vegas. So where's the disconnect there, too, I still think, with owners, MLB, and this whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, the owners unanimously approved Las Vegas. I think they're all in line. I think they saw the way that people and the politicians in Oakland stood up to them and they wanted to make them pay at all costs. So they're like, we're going to take this team out of there no matter what at this point. And Sacramento was a convenient place for that to go. I think that's obviously going to get rubber stamped. Otherwise, they wouldn't have announced it. I saw the MLBPA says that things are going to need to be approved. Of course, they've already announced this ahead of anything being officially approved by the MLBPA. So it just goes in line with the way they try to steamroll their way into situations. So, yeah, I would expect everybody just to fall right in line on this one. And, you know, guys, like, I think it has to be brought up and mentioned several times. I saw some of the discourse online. And so I put out a post when I was sitting there at Sutter Health Park under the thunder and lightning, which is kind of wild. I think it's a beautiful park and I think it's a great place. And I spent some of my favorite years covering the A's at that place when it was called Raley Field and it was the AAA home of the A's. So, you know, I love Sacramento fans. I think that ballpark is awesome. I do think there's going to be a lot of like behind the scenes infrastructure that needs to be set up. But I don't want to see this become a thing where like Oakland fans and Sacramento fans are at odds because I don't think it's the fans that did any of this. Right. It's billionaires like John Fisher and Major League Baseball and Vivek Ranadive who decided to sort of bend over backwards to acquire this team and undercut the city of Oakland.
I think that's well said, Casey Pratt, ABC7 Bay Area. It is billionaires playing games and mommy and daddy fighting, the kids are the ones caught in the middle. Now, from a, you know, Casey, we've had a lot of on and more off-air conversations about this, but I want to bring this on air. You know, the local talking points are, hey, look, the A's weren't going back to Oakland. And Vivek stepped in because he's a champion for Sacramento. And he did the biggest part of saving the Kings and saw an opportunity to put Major League Baseball in Sacramento. And whether it's expansion, as he mentioned, or Vegas falls apart, there was nothing unethical about what Vivek did. There was nothing hypocritical. This wasn't like when the Kings were going to Seattle because they were leaving Oakland anyways, and we found them a home. Now, I know you can, and I'm inviting you to push back, if you will, on that narrative from a Bay Area and an Oakland standpoint. What is the pushback on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say mostly my pushback, and I think your opinion would be far more valued, and I'm sure you've shared it with your listeners too, just because you understand, you know, Sacramento a lot better than I do. But, you know, the Oakland pushback would be not that Vivek saw an opportunity and pounced on it and did what he thought was in the best interest of Sacramento to try to grab a major league team. I think all that's commendable, honestly. I think that he, in his mind, is in a lot of ways right. But what I think he did was hypocritical because of what happened out there and what everybody got dragged through out there and the whole emotional situation of almost losing and then saving the Kings, to then turn around and do that to Oakland when they're in the middle of negotiations sort of tells you that there is a level of hypocrisy there. Obviously, it's an opportunity he saw. He took his shot. He tried to help out his friend, John Fisher, which I'm not sure is a very smart thing to say. But at the time, Oakland had already made what they thought was a pretty fair deal and negotiated it even lower late into that Tuesday evening when they met. But you're just never going to be able to compete with zero rent and zero assurances of expansion. I mean, nobody is going to beat that deal. And so I think he saw an opportunity and he took it. Now, what comes of that opportunity is important. If this leads to Major League Baseball staying in Sacramento, then I'd say the shot he took, despite how Oakland feels, was worth it. But I don't think it's going to happen because he didn't get any assurances. There's still full steam ahead to Vegas. And even if that gets screwed up or they expand, you're looking at a situation where Vivek's going to be just one person in line to get this team.
You mentioned full steam ahead to Vegas. That's still been the plan, whether there was a middle road or not, from Oakland to Sacramento to Vegas or Oakland to Vegas, whatever the case may be. What is the latest there? Because if you read anything on that, there's a lot of people believing, Casey, that that may not even happen.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of a negative situation right now as far as Vegas is concerned, public perception-wise. That doesn't mean the people in those meetings aren't going to do whatever it takes to get this deal done. I think that when you look at the A's situation, in a lot of ways they've succeeded in spite of themselves. Like in Oakland, for example, the city administrators, the staff, they put together and passed this EIR. The port stepped up in a major way and got port priority use cleared. I think these were major hurdles that the A's may have never really believed would actually get cleared. But due to the hard work of these people, they actually got past them. So it was almost like, oh, we're past that now. Okay, now what? Oh, whoa, we got past that hurdle. It almost seemed like they were dragged kicking and screaming across the finish line. Because they seem always afraid to just seal the deal, sign on, put up the money. In Las Vegas, I think it's much the same. I think Major League Baseball and the people out in Vegas, the power players, are going to pull this thing across the finish line, whether John Fisher is able to get there himself or not. So I'm still fairly confident Vegas is going to happen because I think that nobody really likes what's going on out there. But again, just like Vivek Ranadive, the chance to grab a pro sports franchise is going to be too good for some people to pass up out there.
Casey Pratt joining us. By the way, we're nerds, just so people listening. EIR is Environmental Impact Report. That's a yes. That's a big deal. I don't know if everybody knows that, but there you go. Casey, I won't say I disagree with you, but let me push back on that. In Las Vegas, you have a number of different avenues. Number one, you hear things about asbestos being on the site. The Tropicana closed last Tuesday, almost a week ago. Bally's is having serious financial issues. There's issues with the stadium fitting. There's issues with, really, we've never seen this with an expansion before or a relocation, a very lukewarm reception. And then finally, maybe the big one is, if this schools over stadiums teachers group is able to gather, and we'll find out with some litigation pending this week, if they're able to gather 103,000 signatures between now and somewhere around the end of June, this thing goes on the ballot. And as we saw in Kansas City last week with a far more successful team in the Chiefs along with the Royals, it's going to get destroyed on the ballot. Plus, on top of that, we're talking about John Fisher closing a deal. I don't know if I'm as confident as you that Vegas is going to happen.
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah. I just think that, look, if I went out there for the Super Bowl and I made it a point to wear all my Oakland shirts because I wanted people to like come up to me and be like, you know, push back a little bit, tell me why they want the A's in Vegas. And
sure.
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, yeah, you're wrong. But I did walk the site. And the one thing that really was eye-opening for me on the site, aside from how tiny it is that every single property around it is owned by MGM.
Yeah.
And MGM has all the pull out there, and they want that stadium and that site because they don't have to lift a finger, and then they'll take in all the benefit from having a ballpark around all their resorts. So I really do think that the power players out there have a lot more sway than we think. I think that the politicians out there are going to look at this deal. They're probably not going to like it, but they're probably going to sign it on anyways. That's my concern, because I think that when it comes push to shove, the people out there that have all the say want this. And so yeah. That's my biggest concern. Now, there's a lot of things that could stop it. The two big things, schools over stadiums, getting it on the ballot, it'll never pass on the ballot. What happened in Kansas City is a prime example. It's an extremely unpopular issue that the people did not get any voice on. So if this does make it to the ballot, they're in big trouble. That'll take away $380 million in funds. So that's a huge thing that I think that could derail this entire thing.
Casey, we mentioned earlier you had a chance to talk to Vivek Ranadive. If you had an opportunity to talk to John Fisher.
Yeah.
And maybe just one question, but if you got 5 minutes, what would you really want to sit down and talk to him about?
I would just ask him what he thinks he's doing. I mean,
but would it like, be like, would it be like, what do you think you're doing? Like a parent? Or would it be like, dude, I mean, what are you up to?
What do you think you're doing? How do you think you're going to pay for this? How do you feel about hurting so many people? I mean, these are the kind of things I would probably ask him, not to give away the playbook too much. And it's interesting because, you know, while I was in Vegas for the Super Bowl, I was approached about talking to him. And then it got pushed back week after week after week. And again, they approached me about it.
Wow.
But I think once they realized that Oakland wasn't going to happen, they're like, oh, well, we probably don't need to talk to him anymore anyways. I did try at that actual press conference. It's the first time I've actually seen the guy in person. I've been covering the team since 2005.
Wow.
I don't know what that tells you. But right when the press conference ended, I made a beeline straight over there. And to my surprise, you know, all the A's front office were very helpful. They're like, yeah, we'll set people aside for you over there. We got you. We want to get you some stuff on the side just so you can really get all the information you need, which I thought was great. Okay, cool. I'll go get John. But then first Vivek started talking, so I went straight for Vivek. And sure. By the time I was done with him, Fisher had scampered his way out of the ballpark and no one talked to him. So I did my best.
Do you think you could name three A's?
He's a big fan of Aaron Judge.
Yes.
I think that when he got interviewed one time, he had on his little pad of paper, yep. Mark Kotze, Zach Gelof, and Tyler Soderstrom. So I think if you gave him handwritten notes, you could definitely name a few A's players.
We'll finish here, yeah. Casey. You've given us a lot of your time. Kind of a two-parter here. Number one, I think the Shakespearean ending – is Vegas either develops poorly or gets shut down, and we get to a bidding war, which is exactly what baseball would want. John Fisher decides, much like the Maloofs did after Virginia Beach and Seattle and Anaheim all got shut down. They finally, after years of saying there's no way we're going to sell, they finally said we'll sell, and we have a bidding war, if you will, between Warriors owner Joe Lacob and former Warriors co-owner Vivek Ranadive. That's number one. Could you see that bidding war scenario, maybe throwing a Salt Lake in there? Could you see that realistically? And then kind of an addendum there. You mentioned this earlier. Is Howard Terminal ready to go? Isn't it as simple? Because, you know, of course politicians are going to say that. Like, well, wait. It's ready to go. But they also have had a long time to get it ready to go. Is it, for a guy like Lacob, in your opinion, something that is shovel ready, as you said?
Well, so they're past their clearances environmentally, which, okay, as you know, in California, that's huge. That's why I said EIR, which is Environmental Impact Report. Thank you for pointing that out, Dave.
Yes.
They are past all their clearances. Now, the question is, who pays for it, right?
Right.
Joe Lacob said in the Chronicle himself, if he had bought the A's, he would have put them at Howard Terminal and he would have just paid for all the infrastructure himself. And the reason you do that is A, obviously goodwill, you're the billionaire.
Yeah.
And B, waiting for the city to raise money and the government to build all the infrastructure takes an insane amount of time. That's the path the A's took.
Right.
They took the path of, we want to do it there and we want you to pay for it. And that's just never going to work. Now, the bottom line is the city did raise over $400 million in grants to fix the area around the ballpark. And they get to keep that, whether they build the ballpark there or not. So those improvements are going to get done. The on-site, they had already had a deal with the county to raise nearly $500 million to fix up that infrastructure. So they had raised a lot of money, and that deal is already on the table.
Okay.
So I don't know what you would have in SAC. The other thing is, you have to keep in mind, the Coliseum site also has environmental clearances and is also a place that could be developed. So even if they didn't want Howard Terminal, they could go build at the Coliseum site. So they have two really, really close to ready options. And if you want to pay for some of this other stuff yourself, like the city, believe they're within $90 million of getting everything paid for.
Wow.
That's not a lot of money for a billionaire. That's a lot less money than, you know, any MLB contract is these days. So I think that you could get something done quickly. To pit Vivek and Joe Lacob against each other would be poetic. It would be fun. Obviously, Lacob has had an incredible track record of success. But, you know, I caution people out there who always think it's Lacob or Vivek now. There are others out there that I know of that I'm sworn to secrecy on that are big time players. And I'm not even talking Joe Lacob. So there's going to be a lot to say about who gets this team in the end. But, you know, maybe the best option is, and this is crazy, but get Las Vegas figured out, as Samson said, get it figured out. And then when expansion comes up, you know, that's when the thing's really going to hit the fan. Because if they don't figure out the situation here, they can't expand. If they can't expand, the billionaire owners don't make any extra money. So they need Nashville, they need Vegas, they need one other team, probably on the West Coast at this point, assuming the Rays can figure it out. And then everybody wins. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been saying this whole time. Give me Oakland and Vegas.
Yep.
Like, I don't have anything wrong with Vegas. Like, go ahead.
Yep.
Let Fisher and Cavill build it. Keep the team here. There's buyers ready to go. Like, why does it have to be one or the other? Doesn't make sense.
100%. And next time we talk, we'll get into this. I keep forgetting to bring this up, but in talking to people that know things last week, I just never found the right place. Apparently, the bonds that were taken out for the original Rayleigh Field are almost matured and have been paid off beautifully with no late payments, blah, blah, blah. So I guess the idea there is in West Sacramento, with help from Sacramento, if there was to be a new baseball stadium out there, one of the roads they could go down is reissuing bonds like they did for the original Rayleigh Field, and that there would be a receptive political climate for something like that. That's something you just don't know, Casey. They make more money than we do. But in the meantime, we'll be on this now. Obviously, you'll continue that. We look forward to our conversations both on and off the air. Fantastic work on your part. And I believe the A's belong in Oakland. I still hold out hope, even though I'm a native Sacramentan. I still hold out hope, as silly as it might be, that there's some way to make that happen in the future. And I'm sure we'll all be along for the dramatic ride over the next few months. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, and I'm not taking away anything from your work, man. I mean, you had this the whole day before any of this broke. So you were all over it, too. And I know that we were talking the whole time because I was on vacation getting a lot of big scoops at the same time. But yeah, there's no reason Oakland and Sacramento can't work. In hell, I hope Sacramento is an MLB market. I just don't like it under these terms. So much love to you all out there. I'm not saying I'm anti-Sacramento in any way, shape, or form.
Of course. That's Casey Pratt. Follow him on Twitter, by the way. Let me plug that up so you can get the latest news at Casey Pratt. That's two T's, PRATTABC7. Thanks, Case. Talk to you soon, brother.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, take care. We're way late for a break. When we come back, what to watch tonight, and there's a lot to watch tonight. No NBA, but we got some basketball for you. We'll get to that next.
with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Now I'm only falling apart.
Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Ah, love it.
Total eclipse.
Total eclipse. Because there's a solar eclipse today.
Today?
Not total for us. I think we're getting like 10%.
Texas.
People are freaking out about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not even getting
into
like
dark for like 4 minutes.
No, it's going to be happening.
Not here in Texas.
Right, yeah. But like, remember, you might remember this. Remember when this happened at Madison a few years ago, mm-hmm. like 10 years ago, and we all went out in the parking lot? It's like, here's what it's going to be. It's like when a cloud partially covers the sun for a second.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Here.
Here, yeah, there it's like
there, yeah.
really weird.
People are losing. I'm not talking about like the religious stuff. Like, that's a whole different Donahue. I'm talking about just like out here. Like I was telling Simone this earlier, like lunar eclipses are so much better. Like the ones where it's night. And you see a little orange ball go across. That's cool. This, I'm telling you, it's going to be.
You've got a favorite type of eclipse.
I do. So lunar greater than sign solar.
Dork.
I'm telling you. I didn't get much of that at all. But I'm not trying to rain anybody's parade. I'm just saying, don't get your hopes up. Which I generally say anyways.
I think you're yucking their yum, as you say.
It's going to be a yuckier yuck when people are
gross
are out there like, oh, you know, like I know somebody who told me about somebody like, and I know this is happening. They're having like lunar eclipse parties or solar eclipse parties. Like,
yeah,
dude,
it sounds like fun.
Fun what? Everyone's going to go outside in 3D glasses and see like a fingernail over part of the sun, which you can't really see because you can't directly look at it. And it's be like, oh, great. That was worth all of my time again for that. By the way, what did Aaron ask me? I wanted Aaron on the. Dave, is there any concern that being the home of the Kings, that 1140 gets a call from Kings ownership on these interviews? Yeah, I've thought about that. But here's the thing. I would hope not. I will say this. I think it's a good question. That's been asked a few times. So when that happens, like, you know, this is danger zone right here. You get into politics and all that. I would say this, Aaron. It's a good question. It's something that's been asked before because I've been pretty hard on John Fisher. Now that's a partner. And by the way, we may carry the A's games. I truly don't know. I know
we do right now.
We do right now. Yeah. I would say we're in pole position to carry those games. But I'm also aware, by the way, that partnership, this is just the world we live in. Could me, for example, speaking out against John Fisher and the move deteriorate any chances of us getting that? Sure, of course it could. Stranger things have happened. But I do want to say this, though. We have an email, you know, talking to the people that handle Vivek about getting him on this week. We've always had a very good and open relationship with Vivek. I've had very frank conversations with him. He's a big boy. I'm not in stature, you know what I mean. Not one time. Have the Kings ever reached out saying, don't say that, you can't say that, say this, on my kids' lives. Not one time has this regime ever done that. They've always been very good. As long as we're fair, there's a difference between, oh, Vivek, you snake, what an idiot, which, by the way, I don't think that at all, right. But there's a difference between getting personal
exactly,
and bringing up what I think I'm fairly, very confident, actually, they would respect very fair, balanced questions that aren't exactly fun questions. And also, I've had several off-air conversations, as you have too, Jason, with the people that matter over there about this. And they're not always all hearts and flowers. There's some pretty healthy debate. We debated with the mayor on the air. Yeah. I had bigger ones off the air. Like, there's a lot that goes on behind to make sure that everyone understands where everyone's coming from. Here's the bottom line. I believe Vivek wants I truly believe Vivek is a champion of Sacramento. And I believe that he wants good things for this city. And he has shown that with his actions as well as the words. Full stop. There's no but at the end of that. That being said, we may also disagree. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I could be wrong. I might be being too dramatic. I might be overreacting. I might be a little too vulnerable and PTSD'd from when the Kings almost left. And I may be misapplying. I'm humble enough to admit that.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a frank, open conversation, and you guys are all going to be a part of that.
Well, it almost seems like Casey's right at all. He said, look, if it works out in some way, shape, or form that the Sacramento area gets expansion, mm-hmm. Vivek took his shot.
And, yes, he did.
And then would have won if that happens.
It's 100% the case.
Who knows if it'll happen that way, but
we'll be here for the drama.
Yeah.
Hey, it's more relocation drama.
That's right.
I'd missed it. Kind of on the other side of it now, though. We'll take a break when we return. Hey, how about some celebrity birthdays and some crosstalk on a solar eclipse Monday? We'll do all that next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Yeah! Right! Love it! That was the weekend.
Great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. You're excited for baseball coming, right? You, Alan?
You're talking about the A's?
Yeah. You're very, you're baseball-y.
Very conflicted.
Yeah.
Based on my background, but in a vacuum.
What background is that, Alan?
He played it.
He did play the
college. Well, just being
from
the
Max
Bay,
Preps
obviously.
Picture I remember seeing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It was Photoshop.
Any other
lefty or did that switch?
Only lefty.
Any other radio hosts have Max Preps pictures of them batting at the Oakland Coliseum? I don't think they
Definitely
do.
Not.
You know, a story.
No,
funny that
God.
Game. No, a story from that game. It's not it's not a great one.
Go ahead and tell it.
Basically, the ending. So basically, I end up on third base, get a base hit, end up on third.
Uh-huh.
And our three hitters up.
Tubac Shakur.
Our three hitters up.
Yeah.
He hits a foul ball, and the first baseman, and I believe we were either playing Sarah or Valley Christian. A good team.
Oh, yeah.
Good
team.
Because it was one of the...
Junipero Serra.
I think it was a Dave Stewart,
Smoke.
Special or something.
Valley Christian was ridiculous.
They were.
So the foul ball goes to the corner, and the first baseman has to go a little bit, right? He has to he's going back a little bit, and I'm looking at my coach at third saying, hey, am I tagging here? And he, yeah, tag. So I tag, get hosed at home plate, and then he throws me under the bus, and he says, I never told you to go. He was not the coach. The next season, he was gone.
You got him fired.
I mean, I did.
Did you get him fired?
The parents did. There you go.
Apparently, they sent a very lengthy Yelp review on it.
That's right.
These are hard.
They're also not cool.
I should provide context. Yeah, these sports trivia questions.
What's going on here? Good.
In karate, what color belt comes before a black belt?
Isn't it brown?
Yeah, that's brown. Like the easiest one I've found so far. Here's one. You should know this. Come on, guys. Baseball trivia. Chris, especially you. Chris Watkins. At 3'7", who is the shortest player in baseball history?
I actually don't know.
Really? I'm surprised.
He's probably got a great nickname.
I don't know what his nickname is. You know, no?
I remember that picture.
Yeah,
I couldn't pull the name.
Guys, Eddie Goodell.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Goodell, Rogers.
3'7"?
It was a gimmick, and he walked because there was no strike zone. Like, the dude was basically, his chin was on the ground.
Little pop.
That was his haunt.
That's his haunt king.
3'7"?
Right
yeah.
You good there?
I'm not good with
There you go.
Trying to shove it in.
Yeah. Hello.
Today is a National Empanada Day.
Oh,
could eat, if they're good empanadas, I could eat that. I could just eat a pile of them.
My mom makes the best.
Does she really? Have you had all the empanadas in the world? Because how do you know she makes the best?
Because I know.
That's a big statement right there.
Call her.
Wow.
Call her.
That'd be so weird. We just call her. Do you make the best empanadas?
Yes.
You? Okay, Casey.
Confirmed.
Moms do make the best blank.
Yes.
Whatever it may be.
It's my opinion.
Never going to get topped, though.
It's my opinion.
Can't top a mom panada. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Crumble Cookies. Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends. Nothing. What, I combined empanada and a mom?
Yeah, you did.
Well, what? You can't just say, yeah, you did. Like, you could say that at the end of anything.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Hey, what's coming up on the show today? Yeah, we are.
Okay. You better believe it.
Nothing brings family and friends together better than Crumble Cookies. Jason Ross.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
CD. Happy birthday, CD.
Lamb.
Hey, how'd you guys get that? Yeah.
Tucker.
Hey, 25?
CD Lamb, 25.
25.
Oh.
26?
26. I got a 25 and a 26.
26.
25. Two 25s, two 26s. There is a correct answer in the group.
It's 25. I just wanted to be different.
It's 25.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, happy birthday to Dario
Saric.
Yeah, you guys are good.
There
today.
Is also a Franchitti, though. Isn't he a driver for
so.
F1s
yeah,
or something?
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. That's sports knowledge.
Yep.
Dario.
But I have no idea. Wasn't Dario also, wasn't that a cartoon on MTV?
Oh, gosh.
That's Daria.
Daria.
Dora?
Thank you. No, there's Dora the Explorer.
Mario.
Dario.
Dario Kart.
Man, I feel like he might be a little bit older than you think or younger than you think. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the right way to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's 50 or 26. I'm going to say 32.
Yeah, I was going to say 33.
I really don't
32
know.
32 and a 33.
He's 30.
30.
I'll say 31.
And a 30. Oh, 31, 32, 33.
Yeah.
30.
Oh, 30.
Don't do that.
30, 31, 32, 33. Guys, we have a correct answer.
Nice. Hey!
Yeah, you guys, and it's Christopher Laud, 30.
Well done.
You didn't know that, Chris?
By the way, you guys, I was being a ding-dong about this eclipse thing. Are you?
You were.
Yeah, do you care?
Not even a little bit.
Right. I knew you'd be with me. You?
Well, my mom, she texted me, she goes, what are you guys doing for it? And then she goes, are you doing anything for it on the radio?
You opening the roof?
What?
You opening the roof up today?
I'm
going to do an imitation of what the eclipse experience is going to be like for everyone.
At least in California. It's going to be different in other states.
California. Sure. He's going all the way around.
Everybody watch on YouTube. Ready? There, I did it.
Yep.
It was amazing. I'm glad I took all the time off to do that. I'm glad I got an Airbnb so I could see.
Hey, you of all people, though, wouldn't you want to have a party and a get-together to celebrate and do something for
100%.
That's right.
If there's an excuse to have a party, I'll do
it. Or a
day
off.
Speaking of party, Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. Chris Watkins and Alan Sals will be there tonight. Carmichael Dave will be there. Jason Ross will be there tonight for the national championship.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Why was that, like, actually not a forced but legitimate laugh on your part?
You thought that
was really funny. Like, that wasn't a forced laugh. He was like, Alan just said something really comedic that Dave would come out and watch. How do you know I'm not going out there?
You're not.
That's right.
Why would you possibly? Why does he feel this way, Chris?
Because he won't. He plans to, but plans can change.
I can tell you right now.
He
I will most
up.
Likely be there unless something happens
that's
that I don't know about.
No, totally.
Usually I go, unless there's a solar eclipse, then it becomes an issue.
Right, already,
I plan on being out there.
That's right. Christopher Laud will be there.
I plan on being out there.
Thank you,
also,
sir.
Possible appearances by, but not limited to, Barack Obama.
That's true.
John Cena.
Just as good of a chance.
And Tony Kemp.
I've already seen him.
Zont King.
Tony Kemp.
I think
he's actually got the free time.
Does he? Probably.
So. There's word that Dan Cortez might be there.
Oh
MTV's Dan
MTV's
Cortez.
MTV's Dan Cortez. He's going to be sitting there at the door high-fiving children of divorce as they walk in. That's Dan Cortez. Back to you. It's got everything.
Come on out.
Happy birthday, Felix.
Hernandez. The cat.
Yes, Hernandez. King Felix.
48.
The cat.
I think he retired kind of early.
One of my favorite.
I'm going to say.
I think you're right.
45.
I think
42.
I think he's 44, but also
42, 45, 48.
Can I change it to 44?
You can.
Okay, I'm changing it to 44.
Okay, 41. We'll see if that's a good choice. We are not in the right decade, guys. He's 38.
Yeah, he retired real early.
Jeez. Wow. Really early. My goodness.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Cruz.
Rozier.
Bradshaw.
Francona. Terry Taylor. Tate. No, that was a fake guy. Terry.
Stotts?
Former Kings assistant coach.
Terry.
Former NBA player. Played under Rick Adelman.
Terry.
For the Blazers.
Jason Terry? Nope.
Terry Porter.
Oh, God. We're all stupid.
Wow.
We're all really... No, that we should have had Terry Porter. We should have. Shame on all of us.
How old is he?
55.
53.
58.
That's depressing.
56.
Chris Watkins is closest. 61.
Ah.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
All right.
What time are you guys going to be out there tonight?
Five to seven. Yeah. Dave, I know he really wants to try the burger. It's outstanding. The wings, get them extra crispy with some buffalo. We're out there.
Well, I love that. I want to try that burger so hard. It sounds amazing.
And we're giving out another VIP table today during the show. So you don't want to miss that.
Like an actual table? And they can like fold it up and take it home?
We gave out two earlier this week. And when you show up and you mention Sacktown Sports, you get a free fry to go with that delicious burger.
Let's go. There.
But
hold on. The way you sold that is true. Jason brought this up. So, like, they literally get a fry.
One single fry.
Very crispy, though.
It's got the logo on it. All right. For Casey Pratt, I'm Dave. That is Jason. That is Chris. Thanks so much. These guys will have Kings and all that stuff coming up next. Yeah. It's Styles and Watkins, the fastest growing show in the entire world. Bye-bye now.